mystery of the Word of God. Tonight we want to turn to the Gospel by Matthew chapter 11. I'd like to talk tonight about the discouraged Christian worker. Maybe you never get discouraged in the work of the Lord, but we want to deal tonight with the subject of the discouraged Christian worker. All of us, I believe, are gathered together tonight as believers in our blessed Lord, and therefore we want to examine this portion of the Word of God. So we begin our reading at verse 2 of Matthew chapter 11. Now when John, that's John the Baptist, had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Or what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my servant before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Now may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before You. And we pray that through the study of Your Word, Thou wilt encourage Thy people, strengthen them in the faith, build them up, and cause Thy name to be glorified day by day through the testimony of those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and will thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Inertia has settled upon the world. Inertia is a tendency to remain in a fixed condition without change. Now, we see this in government. We see it on all levels of government, whether it's city government, state government, national government. Men are afraid of change. People like eggs. We eat eggs, but we don't like the smell of chickens. You see, don't have a chicken farm near my house, because I like the eggs, but I don't like the smell of chickens. People make garbage, but we certainly don't want a landfill anywhere near where we live. People go to hospitals, and hospitals have radiation waste, but we don't want anything to do with radiation near our town. We need nuclear energy in this country. Well, please don't put a nuclear dump anywhere in our state. It's all right if another state has it, but don't put it near me. We have a big deficit in government. But woe be to the man who decides to cut a program that would affect me. Inertia has settled down upon the world. Disinclination to move or act. And it has affected all parts of our society today. And it has made its inroads among the people of God as well. And a lot of discouragement today is seen. It may not be talked about, but it's seen in actions and activities of the people of God. Now, in our text, John the Baptist is going through a crisis period in his life because something is not happening. John the Baptist thought something should be happened. Now, this happens to God's servants. This happens to people who mean business with God, who are proclaiming the gospel of Christ. You see, it happened to John's patron, Elijah. You remember when Elijah got under the juniper tree? It's a strange prayer he prayed. He prayed that God would take him away. God didn't take him away. He took him to heaven without dying. He asked the Lord to die. But the Lord took that fellow to heaven without dying. Isn't it amazing the way God doesn't answer our prayers? And when Elijah was so depressed, an angel came and baked him a cake. Wasn't that nice? Someone said it was an angel food. But anyway, how do we measure our own ministry? Our own fellowship with the Lord. How do we measure up? You see, John was in prison, watching Jesus work, and he couldn't figure out what God is doing. Are you ever like that? I just don't understand what God is doing. Now, if you and I are going to deal with doubt and discouragement in our own ministry, we're going to have to ask ourselves some very serious questions. We're going to have to ask ourselves the question, how do I view my own ministry? We're going to have to ask ourselves a second question, how do others view my ministry? And we're going to have to ask ourselves a third question, how does God view my ministry? And after all, that's the most important. How do I view my ministry? Well, if you would have asked John at this time, he would have said, I am a failure. John was sure his ministry failed. Strange? No, it's human. John was human. And by the way, all preachers are. All preachers are human, you see. The Word of God says in the Gospel of John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Didn't say there was an archangel sent from God. A man sent from God. And we who are involved in the work of the Lord. And by the way, when I use that expression, I'm not talking about a certain class of people who are out in full-time work. When I worked at the electrical trade, I was as much in the work of the Lord as I am today. I remember being on a large construction job, and every day at noontime, everyone who wanted to join in could join in a Bible reading. Saw sinners saved in that job. So, when we talk about the work of the Lord, everyone who is a child of God by the blood of His cross is engaged in the work of the Lord. Now, John the Baptist was an outdoors man. He dressed that way, you see. And now he's confined to prison. What a change. How would you feel if you were in John's shoes, an outdoors man, having the privilege of introducing the Savior to the nation of Israel, and now in prison? Now, it may not be a prison. It may be in a corner of the Lord's vineyard that isn't producing like you think it should. Now, the Lord Jesus was disappointing John. He was disappointing John. You see, John had the privilege of introducing Christ to Israel. He had the privilege of baptizing the Savior. He had the privilege of crying aloud, as no one else could say before, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." What a privilege he had. But John's message himself was a radical message. For John the Baptist, of him it is written, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. John the Baptist was not a fellow who was interested in lopping off branches up at the top. I told you that this morning. He dealt with the root of the problem. Now, John the Baptist cried that he who comes after me shall baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And John was expecting the fire to fall. But no fire fell. No earthquake. Our Lord came gently. He didn't raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he did not break. How different than John thought. And now, John the Baptist is illegally arrested. And our Lord did nothing to get Israel to release him. The question we could ask, does Jesus care? Does the Lord Jesus know about my trial, my situation? And John the Baptist is in prison and he says, isn't it about time for the fire to fall? Wouldn't you feel that way? I would. You see, this is the kind of discouragement in Christian service that we find. Is that unusual? No. You see, I read biographies. I love to read the biographies of the servants of God. And when I read biographies, I find that all the servants of God are discouraged at one time or another. Read a biography of Spurgeon. What a great man of God he was, but all the discouragement that followed the fire, the night, it wasn't a fire, but they yelled fire in the packed auditorium, and people were trampled to death. And it bothered Spurgeon and his ministry for a long time. Read the Word of God concerning Elijah or Jeremiah the prophet. Now, when you are examining your own ministry, we must be very careful. You don't know all that God is doing. Too much self-judgment is dangerous. You see, if I'm too severe on myself, it leads to discouragement, and that can be sin. If I'm not severe enough, it can move into pride, and that is sin. Any way you go, you lose. Now, what do you do? Well, you do what John did. He went to the Lord. Here's the one place we can always go. He sent someone to the Lord Jesus. By the way, where does the shepherd go when the sheep are breaking his heart? He goes to the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. That's where he goes. Now, what do we have? We have the Word of God, God's message to our hearts, and we have prayer, we can go to the Lord. That's what John the Baptist did. What did Jesus say to John? He said to the messengers, now notice in the text, he didn't answer them right away. He said, you go tell John. John's question was, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one that is coming, or should we be looking for another? Are you really the Messiah? Was John's question. And the Lord Jesus said to them, you go tell John what you see and hear. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. What was he really saying? He was giving him the word of God. He was giving him Isaiah 61, Isaiah 35. The things that the word of God said would take place when the Messiah comes. He was sending John not to look in the mirror and look at himself, but he was sending John to the one thing that you and I have in our day that was left with us, the Word of God. When you take a good look at your ministry, friends, remember, you are probably wrong. How do I view my ministry? Oh, friends, it's a wonderful thing to be able to go to the Lord. We may look at ourselves as a failure. And when John did, he was discouraged. Now, let me ask you a second question. Let's deal with the second one. How do others view my ministry? Now, we may give the impression that we don't care, but we really do. We want to know that we have been blessed of God in the life of someone. God knows how to encourage, and he knows when to encourage. I was greatly encouraged this past week. About 10 years ago, I witnessed to a neighbor man, hard as they come, and just as big. He's a state policeman, former state policeman. He's in the hospital with cancer, and I went to see him. He looked at me and told me what I told him 10 years ago. And when he told me what I told him, he shocked me because I didn't remember what I told him 10 years ago. And you want to know something? When he told me, he wept. That big former state policeman there with big tears running down his face. And what an opportunity to open the scriptures and to open the Word of God and to tell him of the work of the Savior and how to be saved. You see, how do others view your ministry? I went out there feeling, well, I was happy for what he told me. My ministry 10 years ago was not in vain. I thought it was. But it wasn't. This should cause us who know the Lord not to be afraid to witness and not to stop witnessing, but to witness because God in his own time knows how to water the seed and he knows how to bring it forth. For neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. It is God who gives the increase. He is all in all. Oh, we like to know that we've been a blessing to someone else. Now, Jesus answered the questions of John by asking some of the multitude, what do other people think of my ministry? The Lord Jesus said to the multitude, he said, what did you people go out in the wilderness to see? He asked a few questions. His first one was, did you go out to see a reed shaken with the wind? When you think of a reed that's shaken with the wind for a preacher, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about a compromiser. And a compromiser is that which the world likes. Oh, the world loves a compromiser. You know why? They don't have to listen to what he says. You see, And furthermore, a compromiser is never likely to end up in prison. If you please everybody, beware. You can't do it. Beware when all men speak well of you. We read in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26. Ephesians 4 speaks of those who are blown and tossed about by every wind of doctrine that comes along by the sleight of men. John the Baptist was not the kind of a guy who got up in the morning and went outside and wet his finger and put it up to see which way the wind was blowing and then go that way. That was not John. Oh, no. He was not a reed shaken with a wind. The world loves a compromiser. You don't have to pay any attention to what he says. But he not only said, did you go out to see a reed shaken with a wind? Or did you go out to see a man in soft raiment? You see, not only a compromiser, but the world loves a celebrity. We have our Christian fan clubs today. Oh, the world wants us to be like the Hollywood crowd. I'll never forget years ago. I was preaching at a Youth for Christ rally in Boyertown, Pennsylvania, about 50 miles to the east of where I live. And unknown to me, the introduction to my message that night, I'll never forget it. I said, there is a desire today in Christian circles to ape what the world has. The world has its cowboys, so we have our Christian cowboys. The world has its nightclubs, so we now have our Christian nightclubs. You see, unknown to me that the next Saturday night they were having a Christian cowboy. I didn't know it, but I said it, and what were you going to do? But you see, we have our Christian fan clubs today. By the way, I was never invited back. We have our Christian fan clubs today. We want people to be like the Hollywood crowd. You see, you don't have to pay attention to a celebrity. A celebrity would never look at the king and say to him, you're an adulterer. John the Baptist did. He told King Herod, it's unlawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. He wasn't a celebrity. Our Lord says, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a man in soft raiment? You see, celebrities love money. They love prestige. They love press conferences. They love luxury and easy living at other people's expense. Did you go out to see a reed shaken with the wind, a compromiser? Or did you go out to see a celebrity? Which? Oh, the Lord said, I tell you what you went to see. You went to see a prophet. A prophet. You see, the Lord knew these people. He knew who he was speaking to, for he described them. Beginning in verse 16, he said, you know what you are this generation? Well, you're like children playing in the marketplace. You ever watch children play? I love to watch children play. You know, when they get a little older, you see, they say, let's play wedding. We piped unto you and you have not danced. Let's play wedding. No, I don't want to play that. Well, let's play funeral then. We have mourned and you have not lamented. I don't want to play that either. Our Lord said, you're just like children that can't be satisfied with anything. No matter what comes along, in John the Baptist, you didn't accept him. I've come along, and you haven't accepted me either. You're like children in the marketplace. Did you go out to see a prophet? I'll tell you, he was more than a prophet. Any ministry that gets its directions from the crowd, friends, is going to fail sooner or later. It may look great in the eyes of men, but it will fail in the eyes of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we should be insensitive to others. The world likes a compromiser. The world likes a celebrity and the world likes a crowd pleaser. But John the Baptist wasn't any of these. John the Baptist pleased God. For the Lord could say of him, he was a prophet, yea, more than a prophet. Now, how does God view my ministry? How does he view it? Well, it's not what I view about myself. And in the final analysis, it isn't even what others think about me. But what does God have to say? And that's what's important. Now, the Lord Jesus had something good to say about John. He said he was a prophet. It says he was more than a prophet. In fact, he said he was the greatest of the prophets. He was greater than Isaiah. He was greater than Elijah. He was greater than Jeremiah. He was the greatest of the prophets. Now, John wasn't born a prophet. He was born a priest. His parents were of the priestly tribe of Aaron. You see, why were there prophets? The prophets were raised up in Israel because of a failure in the priesthood. That's why there were prophets. You see, while John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were godly people, you see, and he was a good priest, we are not told of others who honored God at that particular time. Oh, when you think of a prophet, what they had to endure. Isaiah the prophet was sawed in half. John the Baptist was beheaded. Jeremiah the prophet of the heart, he had a broken heart. All you need to do is read Lamentations, the book of Lamentations. You see, what is one of our problems today? Someone has put it like this. The church is a non-profit corporation. That's one of our problems today. We sing onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. But what we really should sing is, how does that onward Christian soldiers go? We are treading where the saints have trod, but we're treading where we've always trod. We're not moving on, and we're not moving onward. You see, do we want the preacher to be a prophet to us, announcing God's message, or do we want a celebrity? When John viewed himself, he saw himself as a failure. When God viewed John, he saw him a success. You see, what did the Lord say? All those words in verse 10. He's my messenger. He's my messenger. Do you view yourself as a messenger of God? Are you God's messenger? How are you using your opportunities? Are you telling people about the Savior? Are you God's messenger, or are you a popular Christian worker? Are you God's messenger, or a great Sunday school teacher, Rich? I better move on from that one. All right. The Word of God says that John was a bright and a shining lamp. You rejoice to walk in that light. You see, Jesus was the light of the world. John was just the lamp that reflected the light. Jesus was the Word of God, but John was only the voice. Now, you can't see the voice. You can't see the voice. You hear the voice. The Lord Jesus is the Word. Jesus was the bridegroom. But John the Baptist said, I'm only the friend of the bridegroom. Today, what we need are fewer reeds and fewer celebrities who are hawking their wares. Let me ask you a question. Has the inertia of the present day affected your ministry for Christ? Has it affected you? We need to encourage one another and say to one another, don't be a compromiser. Don't be a celebrity. Don't be a crowd pleaser. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's one of the great chapters. In chapter 3, Paul speaks of the servants of Christ, and he uses a common word, diakonos, from which we get our word deacon, a minister. But when you get to chapter 4, he says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And the word for ministers there is not diakonos. It's huperetes. And it means an under rower. A third galley slave, you can't get any lower. You see, the apostle was, Paul was at the top as an apostle. Oh, Paul says, I'm an under rower. I'm all the way at the bottom. I'm as far down as you can get. Why? For the glory of God. That's what we need. That's what we need. And you and I are called upon to be servants, stewards of the mysteries of God. Are you ever discouraged as a child of God? We have the privilege to do what John the Baptist did, and in the final analysis, get the approval of our blessed Lord. If you're seeking the approval of men, you may be more disappointed. But if you go for the approval that comes from God, you'll never be disappointed. And you'll never need to worry about being a crowd pleaser or being a celebrity or being a compromiser. You can stand, and having done all, as we read in Ephesians 6, stand. How do you view your ministry? Do you view yourself a failure? Don't try. Wait until that day when the Lord decides and He speaks to us at the judgment seat of Christ. But in the meantime, let's be faithful in taking our problems, our crisis experiences to the Lord. Has the inertia of the day settled in on your ministry? That's a good question. To the church at Ephesus, the Lord had to say, I have against you. You've left your first love. And to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, God said, repent, or I will remove the candlestick out of its place. What is a candlestick? A candlestick is a privilege of testimony. I'll remove your privilege of bearing testimony. What is our privilege for testimony based upon? A love for Christ. That's what it is. Remember John 21, the Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Feed my sheep. In other words, the privilege of feeding the sheep of God is in proportion to our love for the person of Christ. Do you love me, he says? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Oh, may God enable us to not be afraid to look at our own ministry. But after we look, and if we're discouraged, let's go to the Lord. and let us cast ourselves upon Him. Let us truly love Him who first loved us. Now let's pray together. Father, we thank You tonight for the riches of grace. We thank You for the testimony of John the Baptist. But above that, we thank You for the testimony of Thy dear Son concerning John. And help us, our Father, to view things from Thy point of view and to be willing to wait, not knowing all that You are doing, but to be faithful in the place You have put us in order that we may glorify You with our bodies and spirits which are Thine. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.